Let's go to Hebrews chapter number 9. Hebrews chapter number 9. And then I'll get you standing. And after we read this, I may have you turn to two other verses while we're standing. But let's first of all find Hebrews chapter number 9. And we're going to read just one verse here. Let's all stand, please. Hebrews chapter number 9. And let me direct your attention to verse number 27, please. Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 27. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. And as it is, and that next word appointed, very important. And as it is appointed unto men once to die. When you die, it's been appointed. Do you understand that? Do you know that our days are in the hands of God? I mean, they really are. Okay, so you have an appointment, and it's been appointed, predetermined. It's appointed unto men once to die, but after that, the judgment. Now, I'll go to Ephesians chapter number 5 and verse number 16. Let's look at this. Now, that means that our time on earth here is predetermined. And then God admonishes us with this scripture as far as the treatment of that time. Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 16, redeeming. Well, that's an important word. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Redeeming the time. Verse 15 ahead of that says, see then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And in Colossians chapter number 5, please. Colossians chapter number 5. Colossians chapter number 4. Colossians chapter number 4 and verse number 5. Again, we see this word pop up, and we'll read this scripture then pray. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5. Walking in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that we take these moments and we do not do damage to these scriptures as we explain these scriptures. Lord, we want to properly redeem the time that we've given here to gather and to assemble in this place. And Lord, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. There may be someone here tonight that's not saved. And Lord, that really wouldn't be that unusual. And so we pray, Lord, that you'd use this message to convict them, to bring them one step closer to salvation. And Lord, hopefully that they would be saved tonight. And Lord, I pray, dear God, for us Christians, because I think probably the vast majority of the folks I'm addressing tonight are born-again Christians. And Lord, I pray that you'd help us to take an examination, a look at this. Important truths that are found in the Bible. And Lord, maybe we could take these and just do some thinking, some meditating on what we hear, Lord, not only during the service tonight and not only do business during the invitation, but Lord, in the week ahead, what a great subject of meditation that will be, we'll look at. Some self-evaluation, Lord, maybe some adjustment of priorities in our life, Lord. And I just pray that you'd use this message in however way you see fit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. I watch, and I haven't been able to much because I'm busy. I don't watch a whole lot of TV because I don't have time to. I like to watch basketball. I'll just confess that sin. I'm sorry. I do. And I just grew up interested in it and like to play and like to watch it. I don't follow college basketball. Chuck doesn't read his Bible, but he does read his ESPN magazine. And if I want to know anything about college basketball, I just ask Chuck. And I believe most of what he says, except when he starts talking about Duke. And then I just kind of turn him off at that point, you know. The NCAA tournament, of course, is on, and I guess one of the reasons I can't watch a whole lot of basketball is my nerves aren't good enough. I'm all right, and then I get down to the end of the game, and I just get out of hand a little bit. I get so into it, And I do. And when it's down in the two games yesterday, I only saw about 3 minutes of one of them, but I read about them and had some guys tell me about them. And that both of them went down to overtime games and the last second shots and all of this. And I'm telling you, by the time I'm done with the game, I'm nuts. When I watch a game, I'm a clock watcher. Now, if you are not interested in basketball, just look at me as if you are and smile, all right? And just, you know, try to understand what I'm saying. And for the handful of you that are, we'll have a good time in the next couple minutes, all right? But I watch the clock. They've got on the screen of the TV now so many different little gadgets and doodads during a game that you are constantly aware of what time it is. And from the time the game starts till it ends, there's a predetermined amount of playing time. And in college basketball, you got two 20-minute halves. And every time a team gets the ball, they have 35 seconds to take a shot. And I watch that shot clock. And I'll see them passing it around, and it's getting down under 10. And I always start, this happens every possession. I start getting nervous. I think they're forgetting about the clock. They're not going to get this shot. I mean, you know what? Sometimes they do forget about the clock. A lot of times when it gets tipped out of bounds or they lose it and they get it thrown back in, they forget that there's already been a certain amount of time click off. And they got it in their heads, they've got 35 seconds, they may only have 12. And yeah, and you ever seen that before where they're passing it around, I'm seeing it go 5, 4, 3, and you can tell nobody on the team knows the time's running out, 2, and I'm going, shoot, 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 and they don't shoot. And buzzer goes off and they lose the ball. And I'm sorry, but I get into it a little bit, all right? Amen. I get more excited about Jesus, though. I'm amening this morning all during the singing while most of you were sleeping. And I'd be ashamed of myself if I got more excited yesterday watching ball than I did this morning watching the service this morning. And so, but I do get excited about sports. I just don't get as excited about sports as I do the things of God. Amen. And so if that's the problem, you can switch that around, okay? Amen. Now, you know the honest truth, we got 10 seconds to cross the center line. And the whole thing's built on time. And many games, this not only basketball's that way, football's that way, many games have been lost because of something that those of us that like sports would understand. Poor clock management. You know what that means? They just forgot the time was ticking off. They forgot the clock was running. A coach just forgot what time it was. He got caught up in the moment in the game and he forgot the clock. A player's out there dribbling and he forgets the clock. And because of that, games have been lost. Games have also been won because a coach or a player used the clock to his advantage. And that's the honest truth. I do know this about sports, and I watch this. Every successful player and every successful coach, while the game's going on, they've got this invisible in the back of their mind. They never lose track of the sound of that ticking clock. The clock is ticking. The clock is ticking. Hey, what are you talking about, Brother Jerry? I'm talking about the fact, folks, that we better be aware of something. In our life right now, the clock is ticking. Now, Nathan, I'm going to ask you to do something. I left right inside this hallway. Would you go get something for me? There's a dry eraser board. And I want to show you something because I think it's fascinating. And again, what I'm going to give you tonight is really something for you to think about. What I'm going to give you tonight is something for you to meditate upon. I want you to think about this thing called life and what it consists of. Thank you very much. And I think time well spent, folks, is time considering our life and the time we have and what we do with our time. I think it's very, 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 very important. Now, I do something from time to time, and it may seem strange, but it helps me. I, every once in a while, will divert over and drive through a cemetery, and I will get out of the car, and I'll just walk around that cemetery, and I'll look at the stones. And it's always fascinating to me. Matter of fact, I just did this weekend, and went to a local cemetery here, and I just got out of the car and spent a few minutes, and I just jotted down, and I wouldn't tell you which cemetery, and I'm not going to tell you the names on the tombstones, but let me show you something here. I just jotted down. I just went around and kind of randomly picked certain stones, and And I wrote down a few statistics, so I want you to watch this. And hopefully this will make sense to you. See, folks, you know what? When you're playing sports, they got a big scoreboard up there. And you can watch when the halftime starts, 12 minutes starts ticking down. And they don't back the clock back up. If it's gone, it's gone. It's ticking down. And they've got that much time. The thing is, none of us can see the scoreboard. None of us know how much time we have. But when you were born, I believe that there was a clock in heaven with a predetermined amount of time that you were going to have on earth and that I was going to have on earth. And it's probably different for most every one of us in this room. But there's so many years that we're going to be given, and so many months and so many days and so many hours and so many minutes and so many seconds. And God knows down to the second the amount of appointed time he's going to give us. And I walked around the cemetery, and of course, folks, they don't give hours, minutes, and seconds in a cemetery. But I did jot down, here was a tombstone that said this: a certain person was born October 5th, 1887. And And this was kind of interesting. This is why it caught my attention. They died also on their birthday, October 5th, 1984. And I don't know exactly what, but I'm going to write this down. But when that person was born, and I don't have it down the way God has it because I don't know. But when that baby was born in 1887, and took its first breath of air, I believe God punched a clock. And they were given so many days to trot upon this earth. Now that person's clock said 97 years, 0 months, 0 days. How many hours, minutes, seconds, I don't know. But let me tell you something. This person didn't live 1 second less or 1 second more than God had appointed. That's how much time they had. By the way, that's predetermined by God, and God gets to choose. And you know what? It's really nobody else's business. God chooses, and God does right, and God predetermines that. And you know what? If he gives us one day on this earth, it's by his grace. So I thought that was interesting. I walked around a little bit more, and I found another one. I thought that was lame. Well, the Lord gave that person 97 years. Isn't that interesting? 97 years. Then I walked around a little bit and I seen this one where the person was born on September 15th, 1907 and died December 5th, 1975. And I did a quick calculation and I may have missed it, but I think it's right. And again, I don't know how many hours and how many minutes and how many seconds, but I guarantee you, on the clock in heaven, God had it down to the second. That person was appointed so much time. But this, folks, listen, when that little baby back in 1907, September 15, 1907, was born, took its first breath, the clock started ticking, and that person never knew how much time was on that clock. But they were given 68 hours, 2 months, 20 days, so many hours, so many minutes, and so many seconds, and that's what they lived. You know why? Because it was appointed. It was appointed unto them. You know, I wonder if that person on his 60th birthday, I mean, there's no way he could have known. On his 60th birthday, he didn't have any idea in the world, just like we don't know, that he had 8 years, 2 months, and 20 days left. You think about that? I walked around some more and I got to looking, and I found another one here. Someone was born on April 5th, 1949 and died November 16th, 1987. And again, if I figured this up, and I may have missed it a little bit because I did this kind of in a hurry. But when their clock started ticking, listen, they didn't know that. That mom and dad, when they saw that baby born and heard it cry its first cry, didn't know how many years they would be given. But that person was given 38 years, 7 months, 11 days, so many hours, so many minutes, and so many seconds. And that's what was their appointed time. That's what God gave them. You know, I seriously doubt when that person turned 35. I don't know, because I don't know the circumstances of their life. I don't know what their health was. Maybe they had some idea, but I seriously doubt when they were 35 years old, they thought they had 3 years, 7 months, and 11 days left. You know, does that make sense to you? I don't think so. But that's what they had. I read another one that said, there's a sadness kind of when you see where the year of the birth and the year of the death squeeze together a little bit. And I seen one where a young man was born on October 9th, 1953, and died November 28th, 1978. And again, if I've got my time right, when he took his first breath in that hospital, the clock started ticking. The Lord said, you know what, you're going to have 25 years, 1 month, 19 days. And God had it down to the hours, minutes, and seconds. And all the time he's living, folks, this is counting down. 25, 24 years, 23 years, 20. But he can't look up at the scoreboard, just like me and you. We don't know, do we? You know, and I think that's a blessing that we don't. I think that's a gift from God that we don't. But we ought to be aware that the time is ticking away. The time's ticking away. And again, I've got others down here, but I think the point's been made. Now, folks, listen to me, because I just want to, I don't know if I'm going to really preach as much. I want to just chat with you. But I think maybe God's burdened my heart tonight to challenge us all to just pause for a moment and listen to the ticking of the clock. When we get so busy in our day-to-day lives, we forget that the time is ticking away. If we were allowed a glimpse into eternity and we could look on that eternal scoreboard that has our name on it, some of us here might look up and say, I've only got good night. I've only got a few years left. I've only got a few months left. And by the way, it might surprise you who it is. We don't know. Praise God, we don't know. But God does say this, listen, I've given you so much time and I want you to redeem it. I want you to redeem that time. You see, let me explain what that means, young people. Your mom and your mama, she gets that Sunday paper and she takes that little section in the middle and she starts cutting coupons sometimes. Or maybe she gets a magazine, she starts cutting coupons out. And you know what? You take those coupons into the storm and you can redeem those coupons. Listen, they won't give you cash for them, but you can give that coupon in and they'll trade you something for it. And that's what God's saying. Folks, listen to me. We can't take, listen, I can't say, you know what? I'm going to take the next week and stick it in a time savings account. And I'll use it sometime in the future. You know what? You got to use it as it comes. I can't save the time. I can't bank away that time, but I can redeem that time. I can trade in that time for something valuable, or I can waste it and let it go by. Now let me say this before I get any farther. Sometime between when that clock starts and when the buzzer sounds, the most important thing that needs to happen is that you need to get saved. That is the most important thing that needs to happen. If you're here tonight and you're not 100% sure, and you know what, maybe you sat in this morning's service, maybe you've been around here a little while, and God is speaking your heart about this, there's a reason that the Bible says that we, listen, today is the day of salvation. Now, it says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You know why God put that in there? Because he said, listen to me, if you've got a chance to be saved, and you're still breathing, and you're not saved, do it today. You know why? Because you don't know what the scoreboard says. You see, it is the will and wish of Almighty God that you would turn to him and be saved during your appointed time on earth. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's will, God's wish for you is that you be saved. Boy, there's a lot of people that just keep putting that thing off, and all of a sudden, buzzer goes off, and you know what? Time's up. You lose. No, you lose for all eternity. You lose. Time ran out. Poor clock management. Foolishness. You walked as a fool, not as wise. It says walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as they walked a life of foolishness. Not aware that there was a clock ticking away. Tick, tick, tick. They were ignoring that sound. They thought they were immortal, thought they'd be here forever, but the time's ticking away. Folks, if you're not saved, you ought to be saved. You ought to be saved, okay? Because once the buzzer goes off, the game's over. And if you're saved, you win. And if you neglect to get saved, you lose for all eternity. Well, we could take the time we want tonight, but you know, you can go to Luke chapter 16, and you know what? There's two men whose clock ran down just about approximately near the same time. One was a rich man and one was a poor beggar. Let me tell you something. One won big and one lost big time. You know what happened? That rich man had everything except he neglected the most important thing, because from the moment he took his first breath to when he took his last breath, he never got saved. Because of that, the Bible says he lifted up in his eyes in hell being in torment. But you know what? That old poor beggar didn't have a whole lot, but he had Jesus. He'd gotten saved. And you know what? The angels came down and took him and carried him with gentle hands into Abraham's bosom. And praise the Lord. If you're not going to, listen, if you don't get one thing done but this, get this done, get saved. Amen. Now let me talk to you, us saved people, for a minute though, folks, because you know what? Well, we can be saved, but we can still disobey the Bible. We can still sin in this matter of poor clock management in the wasting of time. And I'm just going to, again, let me just give you some things from my heart. These are some observations. I'm just going to chat with you for the next, you know, maybe 10, 12, 15 minutes, maybe 16 minutes. By 8 o'clock, we'll walk out of here. But listen to me. Let me chat with you, okay? And pay attention, okay? Don't watch the clock now. Just pay attention, amen? Some of you are thinking, this morning, Brother Jerry, you should have remembered this. The clock was ticking, amen? All right, number one. Let me just give you some observations. Number one, perhaps, I don't know if this is true, but I think sometimes, I talk myself into this sometimes, perhaps the greatest sin of all is the sin of wasting time. You know when you waste time, you waste your life. Now, I want to get this to your head. Boy, we live in a, and I know this goes against what everybody in society is telling you, but I'm telling you, young people, it's a crying shame to sit around wasting time. You don't know how much time you've got left. You have no idea. You're going to tell me for 1 minute that 25-year-old man, when he turned 21, didn't think he had another 50 years? By the way, God mentions in the Bible 70, and you know what? If you walk through the average cemetery, that bears out pretty well, but you don't know. Time's ticking away. Don't waste time. Listen to me. Don't waste time. You waste time, you waste your life. Every minute you waste, you can never get back and do anything with it. It's gone. You got nothing for it. Nothing. A wise person, a wise young person says, you know what? I'm going to take the life, the time, the day that God gives me. I'm going to take every day as a gift from my Heavenly Father. And I'm going to squeeze out of it everything I can squeeze out of it. And I'm going to use it in such a way that would please and honor the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't save time. I can't bank time. But I can trade time. I can trade it in for something useful and something meaningful. Amen? Number two, let me give you this. Never waste present time regretting time already that has already expired. Never waste present time regretting time that has already expired. Now, I'm going to just share something with you. And I think that we can learn from our mistakes and we can learn from the past. And you know what? That's not a waste when we go back for a learning time. But I think the devil a lot of times sits on our shoulders and gets us to waste an entire day that we could cash in for something meaningful, regretting the way we wasted previous time. Well, folks, guess what? You just wasted some more. Now, I want some of you to give yourself permission to forgive yourself like God has forgiven you. Boy, this is important what I'm saying. The devil just get on you with those spurs and he'll ride you and jab you and gouge you, and he'll take you sometimes through a month or a week of depression as you think back, oh, I wasted those years, oh, the mistake I made, oh, if I'd only not did this. Listen, I don't care how much time in the present you spend doing that, it's not going to change what happened. Hey, is it under the blood? Have you asked God to forgive it? Then listen, forgive yourself because he's forgiven you. I just made a deal with Jerry Ross. I mean this. I'm not just talking here. I really mean this. I made a deal with Jerry Ross. You know what? I haven't done everything perfect. And Pastor, do you have some regrets? Oh, my goodness sake. What are they? I'm not going to waste time thinking about them. You know, some of you want to go to a psychologist to get better. And they're going to take you through session after session. You're going to drudging up all of this stuff. Let's get all that back up to the why, so you can waste more time forgetting those things which are behind. Paul wrote, pressing to those things which are before. I press to the mark of the high calling of God. Listen, why don't you get yourself focused on where you're going, not on where you've been? So I don't do that. I don't do that. I'm not saying I never catch myself, but when I catch myself, I say, that's it. Nope. I'm not spending more time doing this. That's ridiculous. I'm wasting the time right now on something that I can't fix anyway, so I'm just going to take this time and do something good today so that tomorrow I won't have to look back and regret it. Amen? Number three, never waste present time worrying about future time you may not even have. Boy, that's an encouraging thought. Amen? All right. Oh, you want to rock around tomorrow and you're going to fret and you're going to worry and you're going to wring your hands all day tomorrow because next week something might happen or you never know, and you got to worry about this, and boy, your kid's only two, but you got to worry about how you're going to pay for college already, and you got to worry about this, and you know, let me share something with you. That kid's never going to get to college. Look at him. I mean, there's a reason he's been in the third grade for 5 years, all right? So forget it. Forget it. Stop worrying about it. Is he happy? Does he like playing with blocks? All right, okay. He'll be fine, all right? Oh, we spend so much time worrying about, oh, Pastor Jerry, oh, and you know what you're doing? You're wasting time worrying about time you may never even have. If I could get some of you to do this, I'm not talking about foolishness. I know there's a place and time to look in the past and learn from our mistake. And I know that there's a place and time to look towards the future and to plan. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. Sometimes we waste right here because our head is either there or there and not doing what we could do for the Lord Jesus Christ, could do for somebody in need, could do for our family. It's right there in front of us. Do it. If I had one thing that I wish I could transfer, and there's not a whole lot of what Jerry Ross has that I'd want to transfer, but I really mean this. If there's one thing I wish I could get across to young people and get across to folks that I feel like are depressed and miserable, and that's this one wonderful, wonderful truth. Listen to me. Listen, I wish I could get everybody to live in the present like I live in the present. And I mean that. I don't do a perfect job of it, but I enjoy every day. And I enjoy the sunrise. I enjoy the morning. I like breakfast. I don't eat breakfast thinking about what I'm going to have for lunch. I eat breakfast enjoying what I'm having for breakfast. I mean, you ought to see me eat. It's something. It ought to be videotaped. Brother, that's what, whatever, whatsoever thy mouth find, I mean, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. And I come in here and I do opening assembly. I'm not worrying about what's going to happen after school. I'm into opening assembly. When I tell our young people this, you know, we sit there and we pledge every morning to that flag, and we pledge to that flag, and we pledge to the Word of God. Do you know what I'm doing while we're doing our pledges? I'm pledging. I'm thinking about our country. I'm thinking about my responsibilities. I'm thinking of my allegiance that I owe this country. When I turn to here, I'm thinking about the allegiance I owe the Lord Jesus Christ. And when I think about, listen, if I could get you, listen, when you're singing a song, why don't you think about it? It would transform you. It would transform the enjoyment that you get out of a song service if you would actually be in the moment and think about the words and sing it from your heart instead of the whole time you're singing worrying about some bill that's due 2 months from now and you don't know how to pay it. Folks, it's right there in front of you. I don't know if I have tomorrow, Brother Tom. I don't know. But I've got now. Brother Jerry, what are you thinking? I'm thinking about this sermon. I'm thinking about right now. I want to give my whole heart to what I'm doing now. You see, you know, moms and dad, listen to me. You're spending time with your kids, but you know what? When you're there, you're not there. And they know it. Be there. They need you. They need you there, then, now. Life's busy enough. When you're there, be there. Give them everything you've got. Let me give you something else. And I won't spend a lot of time on this, but if there is a greater sin than wasting time, this is probably it. Never purposely waste someone else's time. No, I mean it. I think that's a sin. I think that's a horrible sin. You know, when you purposely waste somebody else's time, you are wasting their life. Some folks are so attention starved. No, I mean that. Some of you need to really take a step back. You're so attention starved that you're going to do whatever you have to do to keep everybody's attention on you, and you're high maintenance. And you know what you are? You're selfish. You know what you ought to do? You ought to stop worrying about how many people are paying attention to you and how many people are trying to meet your needs, and you ought to get out of yourself and decide that you're going to spend your life looking around for somebody else to be a blessing to, someone else to help, and you'll be a lot happier person. I mean that. Well, we've got a generation of people that I don't understand them sometimes. Forgive us. We should have been thinking of you. I mean, I'm very careful about asking for people's time. I mean this. I'm talking about for me personally, just to take somebody's time for me. To ask somebody's time, sir, ask somebody's attention and their time. Listen, you know what I'm asking them for? I'm asking for their life. It ought to be important. I think it ought to be important. Amen. Number five. Just think about that. Number five. Never waste, this is another deal I made with Jerry Ross several years ago. And I still catch myself doing it, but boy, do I get on myself. And I quit it. When I realize I'm doing it, I quit it. Never waste a minute in self-pity, envy, jealousy, or covetousness. All that's waste. You just flush those minutes forever away. They're gone. They're useless. You got nothing out of them. Well, what I'm saying is, no more pity parties. But you don't understand. I can't. Yes, you can help it. Right. No, I can't. Yes, you can. By the grace of Almighty God, you can help it. Amen. Yes, sir. Cancel the pity party. I'm not going to spend my time envying. I don't drive by houses and spend a nice house and spend the next 20 minutes down the road thinking about how much nicer that house is. I don't live that way. I mean, folks, are you getting this? I don't spend my life jealous of somebody. Oh, something good happened to so-and-so. I don't care. Why does something good always happen to them? I don't live that way. Something good happens to a brother or sister in Christ. Amen! Good. God bless them. You know what? They're well deserving of that. Praise God. And I go on. I'm just not going to live that way. I'm not going to spend my life in covetousness, always looking at what somebody else has and wishing I had it and being eaten up. Listen, if you spend your time doing that, you are wasting that time. And so I made a deal. I don't do those things. And I don't consciously do them. I don't allow myself to do them. If I find myself doing them, I give myself an old-fashioned tongue lashing. I redirect my thoughts. I redirect my energies towards something positive, and I start redeeming the time. You know why? Because the days are evil. Amen. Now, in the last 3 minutes as the clock ticks away that I have, let me give you some some things that might be time well spent. You know, there's some things that I've done, and I don't have time to go to all the scriptures, so I'm just going to give them to you, and you can study it out. But I think that there's some things that are time well spent. When I get to the end of my life, there's going to be some things I look back at with no regrets. Let me just give them to you. Number one, I don't think any time in prayer, spent in prayer, is wasted time. You know, you go to the presence of Almighty God and just sit there and talk to Him and listen to Him and just get quiet and let Him speak to your heart. You're always better. You're always better for it. You're always better equipped to help other people. You're cleaner. Your countenance changes. Any amount of time that you spend in the presence of Almighty God is never time waste. Number two. I don't think at the end of my life I'll look back and regret any other time that I spent in the Word of God. Well, we've got time to watch every show under the sun and read every magazine, and it seems like we don't have time to read the Bible. And I'm just telling you, folks, I think when I get to the end of my life, I've never one time stood at a deathbed and had somebody say, you know what, if I had it all do together over again, I just wish I hadn't spent so much time in the Bible. I've never heard that yet. Number three, I don't think I'm going to get to the end of my life and regret the time I've spent pursuing lost souls. All the hours that I've clocked in on knocking on doors and working on bus routes and doing follow-up visits and making phone calls and writing letters and passing out tracts. You know what? I get to the end of my life, Brother Bo, I'm not going to regret any of that. You know what? I'm going to figure that's time well spent. That was good. I'll regret some things, but I'm not going to regret that. And you know what? I'm just going to keep that as one of the main priorities of my life. If y'all got time to do all the other foolishness you didn't have at it, but I'm just going to make that one of my main things. I'm just going to spend time going after lost souls. And I think every minute I do that, I'm going to look back and in my life and say, you know what, that was a pretty good deal. That was time well spent. I think any time you spent, number four, any time you spent investing in young people's time well spent. Amen. Bus workers, Sunday school teachers, Christian school workers that come and volunteer your time and your efforts. Let me tell you something. Everything positive and good that you hand to the generation coming after you is time well spent. And by the way, it causes you to live longer because part of you lives out through their life and how you influenced them. I don't think at the end of my life I'm going to look back and say, boy, I tell you what, wish I hadn't spent so much time with my kids. I've talked to a lot of older folks that said, you know what, if I could one do thing to do over with, and I'd spend more time with my kids. Are y'all listening to me? I'm talking about those of you serving God. I'm talking about those of you right with God. I'm talking about those of you that pray and read your Bible. Let me tell you something. Bump your kids way up the priority ladder. Never, never have I heard an old person say, boy, I have one regret. I spent too much time with my family. Never have I heard. Never have I heard. Never. So you know what? I don't put myself on guilt trips for spending time with my kids. I don't put myself on guilt trips for having a date with my wife. I think that's a pretty good investment of time. Right. I win the whole world and lose my kids. You know what? I don't know if I'd consider that a successful life or not. I'm not going to regret taking the time to help someone who has a genuine need. And I want to say this because I don't want those of you to feel, because of what I said earlier about wasting somebody's time. Listen, you got a genuine need, ask for help, because you know what? It's a joy for us that can help to help you. And you know, every month, I don't care what it is. I'm not talking about if it's going over and help Mr. Lockard cut some wood next door to the neighbors or packing him a load of wood or going to visit a widow or whatever it is. I don't think I'm ever going to regret. I never regret time I spend helping someone that has a genuine need. I don't ever regret that. I don't ever regret spending time encouraging or uplifting someone who is down. I'll tell you what, I have regretted some of the words I've said that I think knocked people down who needed to be lifted up. But I've never regretted looking back and saying, you know what? Boy, that was, I'm glad I was a blessing to that person. I'm glad I encouraged that person. I'm glad I lifted up that person. I'm glad I loved that person. I just think that's time well spent. Now, one of these days, and we'll close, we're going to go to a place where that little rascal on the back wall, I don't know if it was Jim Pruitt that used to say that he was going to take the 1,000 rain year reign of Christ, and what he was going to do was get another evangelist buddy and drive a pickup truck, and he was going to ride in the back with a shotgun. They were going to visit every church during the millennial reign, and he was going to walk inside and blast the clock off the back wall. I think, you know, one of these days there's going to be a place called heaven where there's no ticking sound. Can I just open my heart? Because, folks, you're busy and I'm busy, aren't we? I honestly mean this. Every man in this room, I mean this. You don't know how many times I've seen your name or prayed for you and thought this thought. Man, I wish I had more time to spend with them. Man, I wish I had time during the day just to go somewhere with them or just plan a trip with them. I look at the children around here and the young people, and a lot of times I say to myself, you know what? Man, I wish I had more time. You know, one of the blessings about heaven is this. I got all the time in the world. I mean, you know, I could just take a walk. Hey, Nathan, let's go take a walk. We'll go walking for a couple hundred years and come back. Talk about all the stuff we couldn't have time to talk about when we were down here on earth. I'll tell you that deer story again. I mean that. I love God's people. I guess one of the things that just kind of breaks my heart is the fact that, man, I wish so many times that I had more time to spend. But there's going to be a place and a time when, you know what? Many of your moms and dads are already over there. And remember you saying, man, I wish I had more time with mom and dad. I wish I had listened to mom and dad. I wish I had taken more time with mom and dad. Guess what? You're going to have a long time to spend with them. Grandma and grandpa's over there looking down. And one of these days after we redeem all that we can redeem of the allotted appointed time that we're given, if you're saved, you get to go to heaven, and you know what? No clocks, no ticking sound. Forever and ever and ever and ever. We just get to kind of spend time with Jesus, spend time with each other, and boy, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. But until that time, folks, let's redeem it. This week's important. Young people, this week's important. What you do in school is important. What we do outside of school and outside of work is important. How we redeem this time is important. The time we spend with our family and our children, the time we spend with God and in the Bible and prayer, it's important. It's important. Redeem the time. Walk circumspectly. Walk circumspectly. Why, Pastor Jerry? Because you don't know what's left on the clock. You don't know what's left on the clock. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd just help us to find a little reset button tonight and kind of push it. And boy, we get caught up in a lot of stuff. Lord, I think the devil's real good at just getting us so busy doing so much that really means so little. Time's ticking by. We've lost sight of the fact that there's a clock ticking, and so much to do, Lord. So much good we can do. And so guide us, Lord. This is one of those subjects where I can't give the folks a breakdown or a formula or schedule. There's times when every individual just has to come to their God and say, God, you gave me this life. How do you want me to spend it? And of course, Lord, we want to do the things that the Bible commands us to do. But the exact breakdown of all of that, God, I think a Christian has to find you and just say, Lord, help me to redeem every day to the best of my ability and to do the things that would be pleasing to you. Now, Lord, we've only been given one life. And the honest truth is, Lord, in a very short time, in a vapor's worth of time, some other generation will be standing here, and everyone in this room will be the ones in the cemeteries that they walk over and visit. And that happens quick. So help us, Lord, to do everything we can. Only one life, so soon it is past. Only what's done for Christ will last. Help that to be our motto. Speak to our hearts in this invitation time. In Jesus' name I pray.